Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. January 16th, 2023. Your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic. Playmakers, of course, proudly brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Encourage you to get your words on these airwaves. Call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Nobody made any highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Call up. Join us. Whatever you want to talk about sports-wise. It's a big time right now in the sports world. It's a busy time. We've kicked off the year strongly, of course, with college football playoffs and the rise of the college football basketball season is going on strong. You've got the NFL playoffs happening. Huge weekend when it comes to that. Of course, the coaching carousel that is involved in the NFL. And locally, we've got a lot of great things going on as well with our River Kings. All these things are open to talk about. Call up 424-2600 if you want to talk about any one of these in particular. I would like to start with just getting into the NFL weekend and going over some of the games from this weekend and where we stand in the NFL playoffs so far. The first game, I believe, of the playoffs, San Francisco beat Seattle 41-23. Brock Purdy continues to show that every time we think we understand scouting, we don't. We don't. Like, for every player that turns out like a Joe Burrow, the consensus number one pick, Joe Burrow's going to be great. We've done all of our homework. This guy is the next franchise quarterback. For every kid like him, there is a Ryan Leaf or, you know, somebody, Jamarcus Russell. You know, somebody, basically any Bear quarterback that was drafted in the first round, that doesn't work out. And then you have the Tom Brady's, the guys who are drafted in late rounds and actually are pretty good. Or somebody like a Brock Purdy, who is Mr. Irrelevant, last person literally drafted in last year's draft, and it turns into this. Who knows what his future is going to look like, but right now, which is all that matters to San Francisco fans, he's playing great. Kid's got ice water in his veins. That's just interesting to see. And as somebody who loves the NFL draft. I mean, I've just always been a huge fan of the NFL draft. That even I find it kind of silly sometimes of how serious or how we think we understand. We think we know, like, oh, this kid's 40 times, so he's going to be fast. And then he puts pads on and he's not as fast or what have you. It's interesting. So that is how the San Francisco-Seattle game went. The most interesting game of the weekend to me was the Chargers and the Jaguars, Los Angeles versus Jacksonville. I thought it was interesting in part because, well, Jacksonville wasn't even supposed to be here. And the Chargers, while they were supposed to be here, they were supposed to have a better season, I think a lot of people expected, than they did. Well, Jacksonville won that game 31-30. And as of right now, from what I'm seeing, and I'm just trying to keep an eye on this stuff because it changes literally with every second. So far, the head coach Staley for the Chargers has kept his job. He has not been fired. I'm a little surprised by that. I'm half expecting him to be fired at any day now, any moment. I don't know that he's really done a whole lot to keep the job. And I don't know that he necessarily is good at it. I mean, Staley, I don't know. He got the job, and there was a lot of talk and conversation about if he deserved it to begin with. And then, you know, with a lot of the decisions he has made in the last couple of years for that team, especially a lot of the fourth down calls and everything, I don't know. I mean, I've got that much. In this day and age with the NFL, it's so different than it's ever been before, and it's completely changing every moment. You used to be, if I'm an NFL, I get hired by a team, my contract's for 4 or 5 years, and I've got at least 3 years, let alone more than likely 4 or 5. If I'm a quarterback, I've got at least 3 to 4 years to prove myself. You get games now. Like, you can be the most sought-after coach in the world, have one or two bad games, and you may be looking for a job, especially if you're an NFL quarterback. So I don't know, and I don't know that necessarily that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's very easy to say, especially a lot of us old school people, and I tend to lean old school with this stuff. But to me, with as much money as involved in this and as big as the game has gotten, it kind of makes sense to me that, hey, I can't give you 5 years to figure this out. I've got to act now. I've got to make this happen now. I don't think that means that you need to be quick to pull the trigger, like give a guy a year. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I can understand the need to pull the trigger relatively quickly. I'm going to pull the trigger right now on a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
And Jacksonville scored again.
What an exciting game.
It was a cool game, you know. But you talk about the San Francisco quarterback Purdy. Let's talk a little bit about back just a few years ago when Nick Foles was the big backup quarterback, and he didn't, after that Super Bowl win, he really hasn't done much. So
yeah,
you look at Purdy and he's been doing well, ever since he came in. But what's going to happen when he is the number one quarterback? The pressure. To me, there's not really much pressure on him because he's a backup quarterback right now.
Yeah. Next year teams have time to work on his game. They find out his weaknesses. And there's millions of good defensive coordinators out there. They're going to have a field day with a young quarterback, even if he was drafted first, let alone last.
Right.
What do you do if you're San Francisco in this situation when you've got, the Garoppolo thing, I think, is here or there. I think he's going to go to free agency. But the Trey Lance and the Purdy thing is very interesting to me. They traded up to get him. They sold the farm in some ways to get Trey Lance. He is supposed to be the perfect person for the Mike Shanahan offense. And then this kid comes in and he's running the offense even better than Lance did. And I know that Trey Lance doesn't have a big body of work, but preseason, his rookie year, preseason, and the game or two that he played this year, that's all you really got to go on.
Yeah, well, and Trey Lance, I really wasn't a big fan even coming out of college either, though.
Mm-hmm.
And for Sanford, look what they did with Alex Smith when they traded up to go get him instead of taking Rodgers. They took, they took Alex Smith. I guess I wasn't really sold on Trey Lance, so he may have lost his position, but I guess time will tell when the season starts next year. But it looked pretty. He's just pretty much just got to ride the wave right now and enjoy what he's doing and going now. I think when they play the winner of tonight's game, they'll end up playing one of those either Tampa Bay or Dallas.
Yeah,
and also the. I think San Francisco, you're hot when you're hot. And they're, 11 in a row now?
Mm-hmm. You ride the hot hand.
It kind of looked, in the first half of that game, they looked like, maybe the run is over, the streak is over. And then the defense even stepped up even more. And that's kind of, I think, where it's helped Purdy in that, on that end of it, is that the defense that San Francisco has is tough. And that's kind of taking the pressure off him a little bit to have to move the ball down the field.
I think it's certainly a good problem to have. If you're San Francisco first, I think you see how this playoff run turns out, and you go from there. Certainly, if Brock Purdy wins you a Super Bowl, he's your starting quarterback. You can't not start him. But outside of that happening, I think you let these guys fight it out in the preseason. You see what happens there. And the nice part of this is really both these kids are young. Neither of them necessarily have a lot of ego from everything that's being talked about. They're both very supportive of each other, very good locker room guys. So, hopefully you work this out and you go forward. When I was young, it was beginning to be this way. And now it's almost, you can't have just one running back. You got to have two good backs nowadays. Maybe not two all pros, but you need a guy because your guy's going to get banged up. So you're going to need a good running back to come in there. And I'm not even talking like missing games. I mean missing plays, so you can have a good solid guy. Your offense doesn't miss a beat, that kind of thing. I'm wondering if we're getting closer and closer to the days where you're going to need a great backup quarterback as well.
Well, and that's where, people look at Love on that. They're hoping that maybe he would have been they're looking at him hoping to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers or be a good backup quarterback. But, when you have a guy that doesn't, is pretty, healthy, I shouldn't say healthy, but that is good you know, and you can rely on him being there every week, it's hard to really see if, you know, you're going to have a good backup quarterback. Yeah. Look at the years that when Favre was with Green Bay. I mean, you had, you know, Mark Brunell Ty Detmer was even in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so those guys are good. I mean, actually, Brunell ended up having a pretty good career. Doug Peterson had a pretty good career as a quarterback in the NFL with Jacksonville with mm-hmm. Brunell. But, you have to have a good – I mean, it just – in today's football, you have to have maybe that quarterback that's a backup that could maybe start for some team down the road. But, I mean, it's just
– I could see a time – because you're also – you're asking – you're – it's one thing to ask Brock Purdy, who was the last pick in the draft, to, hey, you're going to be our backup quarterback. It's another to ask a kid who was drafted first to be the backup quarterback. So, you know, dealing with these egos and these personnel and contracts, too, because the biggest thing about this, the NFL is parity. It always has been, always will be. And everybody saw what Seattle did with Russell Wilson and the rookie contract for a quarterback. So that's when you make your mark. Do I have a kid who can win me the game, or at least not lose me the game? And I'm going to surround him with pieces that can win me a Super Bowl, and then we'll figure out his, you know, quarterback deal when it comes to that or whatever. So that whole storyline is there. But then what happens when the rookie goes down, like a Trey Lance? San Francisco got really lucky having two quarterbacks to come in and take over for them, and Garoppolo and then Purdy. But most teams don't have this, and most teams don't have necessarily a guy like, I don't think we give Jimmy Garoppolo enough credit. He's done when's the last time you heard him, you know, bark or complain? Now, he's getting paid a lot of money, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go patting him on the back here or anything too much. But I do think in today's NFL, where there's so many divas, it is interesting to hear a guy who is losing his job, and it's the worst kept secret in the world, and you haven't heard him complain about it. Like, he's just going out there and doing his job.
Yeah, he's a very humble guy, you know, and well, and then plus, you know, even when they made that trade for McCaffrey, though, with San Francisco, mm-hmm. I mean, that was big. I mean, obviously, you're putting surrounding Purdy with some pretty good, you know, pretty good guys, you know, and you got Kittle as your tight end, and who was it? No, that was Miami. I was thinking Waddle, but he's with Miami. But he's got some pretty good receivers out there. So you have surrounded, even having Trey Lance, even if Trey Lance was in there or Garoppolo, you've surrounded those guys with some great, like you said, with some great players. Garoppolo is going to be one of those guys that he's going to manage the team. He's not looking to be out there to be the Aaron Rodgers or the Tom Brady out there. He's out there to manage the game, try to keep them in the game. You know, obviously, if you're in the game, you're going to win the game. And that's where that type of quarterback, I think, is more, even though it's an offensive-driven league now, but a quarterback that can manage the team, manage things, and keep them in the game, that's what they need, you know. And I don't know. I'm really thinking that San Francisco might be the team that's going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, them and Philly are the two that are really the ones that my eyes are on and that have the least amount of weaknesses. I don't want to do this, but I feel every fiber in my body trying to get me to ask about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love now and what the Packers should do. If you want to talk about that, certainly we can. But what I'm a little more curious about with you and other Packer fans out there is the Barry situation and keeping the defensive coordinator, and if you think that was a good idea or not. I think the Aaron Rodgers drama is something we'll be talking about until April. If you guys want to talk about it, we can. But until there's any like news to actual things to talk about, I don't really see a point. It could change a billion times between now and April. He's been pretty honest, and I think I will give him some credit. I think he has owned the fact that, hey, I don't want to hold them hostage. He's used those words. So hopefully this won't be something that drags out for the next couple of months. And again, if you want to talk about it, we'll talk about it every minute, every playmakers. That's your guys'. It's your show, guys. So that's what we'll do. But I'm a little more curious about the defensive coordinator situation, because it felt like he was a dead man walking through half the season. And then the second half of the season,
I think that you can find some moments and some statistics that'll show that they kept them in some games.
Well, you know, tell you the truth, James, I had nothing to talk about with the Packers this week.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually did some research over the weekend.
Ooh, ooh.
And I was kind of hoping Randy was going to be with us today because another story came up again, I think over the weekend or sometime with them having their meetings about the conference alignment for football. And I actually had my opinions and obviously, I wanted to catch Randy's opinion since he's been kind of in the area for a long time and with the different conferences. But I can hold off on that.
Randy should be with us next week. You call back and bring that next week. That'll be good.
but with the Packers, though, I mean, you brought it up. Rodgers, obviously, I think an Eagle thing is on there that I don't think that the way his season went, I don't think he can call or quits on that type of season.
No.
So I think, I really truly believe, and I could be like everybody else, but we all could be wrong, and he could he could go, Gutekunst on his presser last week said that they want Aaron back, but, there was that but he had in there.
What do you want?
Obviously, they don't feel comfortable with Love if they're continuing and really pushing to keep Rodgers on the team.
Yeah.
Now, as for the defensive coordinator, I think both coordinators should be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should look for a new offensive coordinator, maybe bring Nathaniel Hackett back if he's available, or is that going to be a slap in the face bringing him back, to him as a coordinator after only playing and coaching for half a season? But I do believe, Barry's off a defense the second half of the season looked good. Everybody was getting healthy again. But I still think he needs to be replaced. And for them not replacing him already, unless they're going to wait till after the Super Bowl, wait and see what happens with some of these other teams in the Super Bowl, if they're going to make some changes or with the new coaching changes within the NFL, if some of those defensive coordinators are going to be available down the road. Maybe that's where the Packers are holding off, but if anything, he's put on probation, and if the start of the season, and our defense looks like it did this last year, you have to get rid of him. I really believe that.
Yeah, according 6 days ago, Matt LaFleur said that he anticipates the Packers coaching staff to return. Anticipate is different than guarantee.
Right.
So, to your point, I think that they are waiting to see what happens with some of these other coaching staffs. A lot of these times is where you find that next great defensive coordinator. He's coaching linebackers for San Francisco or something like that. D'Amico Ryans right now is one of the hotter names in coaching carousel. In part, he kind of got that job in the same way, kind of getting promoted at San Francisco and showing what he could do. So a lot of people are especially looking for that diamond in the rough. And if you've already, here's the other thing that all these teams are dealing with, and I'm not expecting anybody to feel sorry for them by any means, but every time you fire a coordinator, it's not as if that money is off the books. Like every time, there are organizations out there that are still paying for coaches like 5 coaches ago. That kind of thing. So every time, if you're going to hire somebody, it's one, do I have the right person and can I afford them? And this always comes into play for me with Green Bay, because I know that they are an NFL team. I understand they got tons of money. They are still the smallest franchise in all of professional sports. And that comes into play. It affects your flexibility with some of these things. Interesting. Sure enough. And appreciate the call as always, sir. Not sure if we lost you there or not, but appreciate the time. Thank you so much as always. Phone lines are open, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We were talking a little NFL playoffs there and just kind of continuing that conversation, wrap it up with where we were. There's just a couple more because I mentioned this. San Francisco beat Seattle. Jacksonville lost the Chargers. Buffalo beating Miami a little more... closer than I think some of us had that game, 34-31. Miami playing with their third string quarterback and really showing some heart to that game, playing out of town and all that. Thought they put in a good performance. The Giants beat Minnesota 31-24. Certainly, I actually expected you guys to have me filling up my airwaves right away with that one. And Cincinnati last night beat Baltimore 24-17. Tampa Bay and Dallas will be playing tonight on Monday Night Football. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes, just 30 days. Catchers and pitchers.
30 days. Yes. Very excited about that.
40 days to be the first game. Dodgers and Brewers were playing on the 25th of February.
I've been thinking about this a lot, in part because you tend to join us once a week, sir. I don't know if since I was a kid, I'll say, I don't know the last time I was this excited about a baseball season. And it really doesn't has anything to do with a certain player or a team or anything like that. It's about these rule changes. And I'm so curious to see how this plays out, how it works. And I'm not worried. The game has never needed to be sped up for me. If I sit down to watch a baseball game, I understand what I'm sitting down for. I don't need it to be done in a half an hour.
Yeah.
But I understand why they're doing this, and I want the game to survive and younger generations to enjoy it. So I'm okay with a lot of this stuff. But what I am, I'm a huge fan of the stolen base. I love the stolen base. And what we're seeing in the minor leagues is that with this pitch clock, that the stolen base has come back in droves. And I think that part is really exciting. The shift part, them taking that away. I'm curious to see if singles go up.
I like that.
So I know how big of a Brewer fan you are, sir, but are you just as excited about some of that stuff as you are the Brewers?
I definitely glad to see that Julio Urías shift. I mean, so many, their batting average went down when they did that stuff.
I think it's interesting. I'm curious to see how it goes, and like all these things, it takes time. We'll see how it plays out and everything, but it should be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got Wade Miley back. He'll take Brett Sutter's spot, I'm pretty sure. Left-hander out of the bullpen,
Yeah, I like that. I like seeing him come back. That was good.
Yeah. We got an interesting team. I'm very interested to start watching some spring training games.
One of the things I think that it's exciting about, whether you're a Brewer fan or just a baseball fan, is that is these teams like the Brewers that have a good nucleus, have a good team, and we've all seen in baseball plenty of times where a team that nobody had on their radar goes on and wins the whole thing, or goes on and does an amazing thing, or something.
Yeah, they signed 10 of their people that were eligible for arbitration. Signed 10 of them this last week. Only one that's missing is Corbin Burns. They didn't sign him yet, so.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, he might get a longer contract, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
One year, yeah.
I did want to bring this up, so I'll just do it now, because I'm kind of curious how you and what the audience is thinking. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred told ESPN in June that the league will plans to introduce robot umpires in 2024. There aren't actually going to be robots erected behind home plate, but rather an AI-powered system that is going to be doing this. Robot umpires could be coming. They're going to be in parks this year. AAA is going to be using a lot of these. And Manfred is not budging on this. Like, by 2024, he is saying in major league games, there is going to be decisions being made by AI. And I'm very curious about this with more than any other sport, baseball. And I wonder how people feel.
I'm happy for it. Yeah. As far as the home plate umpire, you still need to have a guy there for some plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they miss so many calls that are 6 inches outside, and they still call it a strike.
Mm.
They miss so many of those, and I kind of think that might help a little bit myself.
Yeah. Randy Paul, my partner in sports, just stopped into the studio. Good to see you, Randy. Thanks for being here. I'm curious, too, because I think one of the things that we love about baseball is the thing that frustrates us also, is what the caller just said there. The idea that this umpire's not giving us anything today, guys. We like having our villains in sports. We like having our guy that we can point to and say, that's the bad guy. That's the guy I'm coming at. It's a lot harder to do that with a robot. It's a little harder, if they do it with an AI system. With the guy standing there, there's that. I'm curious to see how people will feel about that. But also, the idea that, hey, we don't have this as an excuse anymore, too.
Like, it was also, it used to be a nice thing to have in your back pocket there. I mean, the Florida Marlins World Series that they won. I still have friends in Miami, and I hear them still talking about it and how it was this pitch that wasn't a pitch and these things. I mean, I don't know. I like the human error in baseball just as much as I it frustrates me. So I'm kind of curious how we're going to feel about this.
You know, we need to have to catch the umpire back there. I mean, he's going to be a play at home plate, so you need to have him. I don't think the extra guy is going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to have still be some human in it. But I've seen a lot of pitches that were way out of line, and they still call them a strike, or some that were.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be happier. Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to be happier than Angel Hernandez.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. Thanks for the call, sir. You have a great day.
Arcia.
I appreciate the time. Yeah, he was telling us 30 days till pitchers and catchers and all that. And I got excited. We were very excited about that.
That is really super exciting, isn't it?
We're excited to have you here, Randy.
Yeah,
thanks
always
for
good
being
to be here.
Here.
You bet.
We will go ahead. Let's take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll get into some local coverage. We'll talk some River Kings and probably talk some more NFL. More than likely. Coming up for you on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Randy Paul sitting here with us, my partner in sports, and we want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Hello to Phil and the gang. Remind you that our friend Phil and our friends at Quality Plus join us on Wednesdays in the after 8:30, I would say, on the morning show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Be sure to be listening for that. Randy does such an amazing job covering our local sports. I know that you got some stuff over there. Randy, I'm going to get out of your way. What do you got?
I had some busy high school basketball once again this last weekend, as in the Valley, Wisconsin Rapids boys headed over to Point on Friday night and fell to the Panthers 58-30. Chase Fox led the Raiders with 12 points. On Saturday, Spash falls by a single point, 58-57, on the road at Appleton West. Elsewhere, Merrill went on the road, and they dumped DC Everest 84-61. Marshfield, they're still undefeated in conference as they throttled Three Dubs 73-57. And on Saturday, Wausau East headed over to Oshkosh West, came up 4 points short, 66-62. In the Merriwood South, the Royals lost at home to Stratford 57-43. Ryan Shaw, Nick Lieberg each threw in 13 points for Assumption. Newman took care of Edgar at home 73-59. And Marathon goes on the road and wins at Auburndale 65-55. Newman and Marathon now both 8-1 in conference action. Central Wisconsin South, Port Edwards is upset at home by Pittsville 55-49. Sam Bowden led the Panthers with 18 points. Pacelli's now alone in first place, and they will host the Blackhawks tomorrow night. Almond Bancroft is 11-2 as they edged Elko 62-52. Wild Rose loses at just a game, 72-45 to Berlin. And Rosholt tops Tri-City County 80-35. In the South Central Conference, Nakusa falls to the Hornets of Wautoma 79-59. Papermakers will host Athens tonight. We'll have it for you at about 6:55 on our sister station, FM 105.5 WIRI. The Dells still perfect in conference play as they whip Westfield 79-46. And Adams Friendship picks up a road victory in Mauston 50-31. Girls High School Buckets Valley, the Lady Raiders also headed to Stevens Point on Friday and lost to the Panthers 72-44. Marshfield won at Wausau West on Friday 55-45, and on Saturday they went to Kimberly and fell to the Papermakers 52-41. Merrill mauls DC Everest 61-31, and back on Tuesday, East got walloped by West 77-26. Merriwood South, Assumption's 12-1 as they stomp Stratford 51-36. Jordan Jaglinski led the Royals with 17 points. We hope to head over to Assumption on Thursday as they were playing host to Auburndale in a makeup game. Elsewhere, Edgar held off Newman 59-52, and Auburndale was four better than Marathon 52-48. Central Wisconsin South, Pittsville defeats Port Edwards at home 88-19. Reese Grimm was the leading scorer for the Panthers with 20, while Melanie Sillers had 8 for Port Edwards. Elman Bancroft improves to 13-1 as they bomb Elko 56-14. Pacelli has an easy time with Wild Rose, 51-34, and Rochelt rolled past Tri-County, 80-35. South Central, Wautoma wins at Nakusa, 51-9. Number 4, Westfield whips Wisconsin Dells, 50-30, and Adams Friendship wins on the road at Mauston, 45-25. And the River Kings, they picked up a couple of W's this last weekend as they were at home against the Ducks of the Dells, and heard a couple games heard on WIRI. On Friday, they won it 4-3. They're up 3-1 after the first and kind of coasted from there on out. And then on Saturday, my goodness, 6-0 after one and then 9-0 after the end of the second period.
Yeah.
They just kind of outshot the Dells pretty handily, that 47-29, and got the W. So
that goal that Tobias had, I think it was Friday night. Whew. Like, you could feel that in the whole state.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was so nice. This team is getting toned right at the right time.
Well, they got three on the road this weekend, the 20th through the 22nd. Then after that, they finished the season with 9 straight home games.
Yeah, I don't know who. Well, thank you, schedulers.
Yeah.
We really like that. That is pretty cool.
So, you know, between high school basketball and River Kings hockey, I think almost every night we'll have something in February.
Oh, almost. Yeah, yeah. I was looking at that earlier. Yeah, and I think that is so cool. I again encourage you to follow along on our sister station, Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI. You know, just doing such a nice job with the handling of sports over there. It's been really fun to kind of be able to spread this out a little. We used to try to cram everything on WFHR because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
I think we made it work. But other shows might have, you know, suffered because of it, or coverage of a certain topic or event might have not been able to. This is so nice. We can spread our legs a little bit more now. We can stretch this out a little bit, and it really makes both of our stations that much stronger.
You know, and then the consistency, right? You want to listen to the Badgers, you're turning to FHR. You want to hear high school sports over Kings, you're turning to the FM, so you know where it's going to be, right?
It's nice. We really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. It's been fun to be. We've been able to do even more, too. And boy, it has been nice to have River Kings hockey on that station. Man,
yes.
That just has not gotten old to me, and I don't think it ever will. We encourage you to follow the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river over at Wisc Country 105.5. They will be back in town, I see, on the 27th, it looks like.
Yeah, fun to have Coach Beckham back in and talk a little bit about that homestand for nine games.
Yeah, Coach will be here maybe every day during that run. I don't know. He'll definitely be here, though. He'll definitely going to show up. I want to get to touch on our schedule here at the station in a second, but there was some breaking news while you were doing your news break there, Randy. C.J. Stroud has declared for the 23 NFL draft. The Ohio State quarterback is going into the NFL draft.
And I think today was the last day they had the opportunity to declare, so he waited till last minute.
I don't think it was surprising that he did, but it was a little surprising to me that he waited, which means to me that, not that he was unsure maybe, but just that, hey, because he's the potential number one pick. Him or Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is probably the number one pick, but by the time these two kids get in the combine, who knows? They're not that far apart statistically or physically and all that. So I'm very curious to see which one would go first, and I wonder if that played into it. I don't know.
So do you think, with that said, the Bears would pick number one, or would they trade it? Because they do have what they feel, I believe, is their quarterback of the future.
I haven't touched on this because I'm afraid I'm going to take up the entire hour talking about it. And we do our show in Wisconsin, which I am very aware of, and I don't like to talk too much Chicago sports on this station because I know I imagine you guys would be annoyed by that. So maybe I'm assuming, but I'm guessing, and I tend to be right about that stuff. But since you bring it up, because it's the Chicago Bears, literally anything is possible. They could grab a quarterback and then grab another quarterback in the second round, knowing them, even though they've waited 40 years to have an established quarterback, and we finally have one. If you're a GM, especially a young GM, your dream just came true. You're coming into the NFL offseason with a team that was in every game pretty much, but lost those games, so you have a high draft pick. You have more money than literally anybody else in free agency to play with. Nobody has even close to the money the Chicago Bears have going into this offseason. All these factors, and you don't have to worry about a franchise quarterback. You've got one. Has Justin Fields proven to you that you can win a Super Bowl or even stay healthy for 17 games? No, certainly not.
But let's admit, let's be honest here. You are the Chicago Bears. You have a low bar for quarterbacks. This kid has done it. He's jumped over that bar 15 times. I've never seen a Bear quarterback like this kid. And I'm not talking about his athleticism or his 40 time. I'm talking about the way he plays hurt. I'm talking about the locker room kid that guy is. Jay Cutler had a great arm. You would take Jay Cutler's arm any day of the week. The rest of his body, not so much. This kid, I love every bit of him. I like everything about him. Could Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud be a better quarterback than him? I have no idea. Arguably, you can make the argument that maybe they could. You can also make the argument of what I was saying earlier about the way that you do this in the NFL today is you get the kid and the rookie contract and you build around him. I'm a new GM. I didn't draft Justin Fields. Maybe I want to start over. Maybe I'll start over with a new rookie quarterback on a new contract, and I've got all this money to play with in free agency, so I'll sign this disgruntled wide receiver and this guy and that. Maybe that's what they're going to do. I don't know. As a fan, and just as somebody who has a little bit of intelligence, just a bit, not much, but a little bit, you've waited 40-some years, longer than that, to have an established quarterback. You got him. You know, if you're not that certain, fine. Grab a veteran in free agency that you ain't got to spend a lot of money on and have him back Justin up. But for the love of God, you had this put in your hands right there for you. Trade that pick. Get a buttload. Get a ton. And build your team. You got a billion holes on your team. Why grab a quarterback when one of the few positions you don't have to worry about is quarterback? But this is the Chicago Bears, and they have proven throughout the history that they are not very good at making decisions. And oftentimes they fall into good things than more times than they make it. When's the last time you said, "Well, that was a really that was a smart move by the Chicago Bears"? That just doesn't happen very much. Not since the McCaskies have owned things. Maybe back in the day when Papa Bear Hallis was making the calls and everything like that, but now I don't know, and I don't trust this team enough. There may not be a team I love more in all of professional sports, and I still don't. I have no trust at all in that team that they are going to do the smart thing or the right thing or any of this stuff.
You know, one of the things they always talk about is you can never have enough defensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
Offensive linemen, we've seen them been going down in the playoffs this weekend. Both San Francisco and Miami were playing their third-string quarterback.
Yeah.
So does that play into the decision? Justin Fields did get hurt this year. Would you like to have a C.J. Stroud? Would you like to have a backup quarterback who you think Fields may not make it through every year, and now you're going to have somebody that you can develop and you might be able to trust? Or do you rather, like you said earlier, do you just go with a veteran who could be there just in case that does occur?
I know if you can't trade that number one pick, or if you don't like the options that are out there, I can't think of his name. There's an offensive lineman from Northwestern that they're saying could go in the top 10, top 5. Grab that kid. Peter Skoronski. Great, like, could be a left tackle for the next 10 years, could be your right guard for the next, I don't care. To Randy's point, your only job right now is to make sure that Justin Fields stays upright and he has people to throw the ball to when he is upright. I love Darnell Mooney. He's a number two at best. The kids you've drafted have not worked out. The Chase Claypool thing, I don't think that's going to work out. I mean, get this, some weapons. If you can't, you also sold your whole defense. You got no face on your defense. Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama could be the next great linebacker. Like, this kid is the real deal. He looks like the real deal. Grab him. You know, just please do the right thing. Please, for once, as a franchise, I'm begging you. Please.
And it's interesting,
too. It'd make my life so much easier.
You know, think about that with the Packers. You know, they're talking about last year, you know, what were they going to do with Aaron Rodgers? And somebody just had a nice article that I was reading about what the Seahawks got in exchange for Russell Wilson. Yeah, you know, a couple of number one picks, a couple of number twos, a three, a couple of players. You know, and everybody's, of course, they could have got the same thing for Aaron Rodgers last year. Now, if that happens, are you going to get those same kind of numbers? Plus, you invested those millions in him, got millions invested in Aaron Jones and in David Bakhtiari. Mm. Packers are suddenly, at right now, looking from the outside in, looking like, you know, they're hurting a little bit, of course, with the salary cap, and now they've got Aaron Rodgers debating what he's going to do. So So many decisions to make in the offseason, and you look back in hindsight, it's a lot easier, that's for sure.
I think you can spin almost anything to something that you like and make it, so if you're looking at something with rose-colored glasses, of course, and that. It's hard to do that with the Green Bay Packers situation right now, with what they have done to this, for what they have done with this franchise. I also think that it's fair to say that they're doing the best they can in many ways because of being a small franchise, of not having the pull or the money that a Dallas or some other teams do, and in a no-win situation. If you last year or the year before that or the year before that had decided to get rid of Aaron Rodgers and cut your losses and go to the next kid, whether it was Jordan Love or whoever, there's going to be 50% of the people that hate it, 50% that do.
Well, just think, if he would have been traded, right, and we would have had Jordan Love and not made the playoffs this year, mm-hmm. and Rodgers would have had weapons and he would have done well and led the team to the playoffs, everybody would have been, we should have never got rid of Rodgers, right?
Right, yeah.
But now that we know that we didn't make the playoffs with him, we're like, we could have not made the playoffs without him and saved all of that money as well.
Hindsight is always intelligent.
Oh.
I will say that I don't think the window has closed. I hear this a lot right now, especially in this state, on Twitter, on talking heads, on other radio stations, TV stations and stuff. The window has closed for the Packers. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the window is completely shut. Just because I've watched an NFL football game before in my life, and I know how this game works. And just when you think Jacksonville has no chance, they beat the Chargers. This is the NFL. So I am not going to count out anybody or anything. They had Tom Brady done 8 years ago. No, 9 years ago. They had Tom Brady done. What has he done since? There was a stat the other day I saw. Tom Brady, since turning 40 or something like that, has more wins, yards, touchdowns than like any Bear quarterback in like all of their whole franchise history, basically. Like the things that this guy has done. We're living in a day and age where he exists. So who's? I'm not going to count out Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to count him out. He hadn't shown me much to put stock in him. If he is a company, I don't know necessarily that I'm buying new stock, but I ain't selling the stock I have in him. And I've already kind of, at this point, I've already kind of wasted the Jordan Love era. I've already wasted the contract. I'm just going to cut my losses and go all in now. I might as well. What other options do I have here if I'm Green Bay? I go ahead and I go out there. Who wants Aaron? Randy just told you, you're not going to get what you got last year. And more times than not in a trade, when you trade a superstar, the team trading said superstar does not get their money's worth, if you will. And you know that's not going to happen. So, outside of somebody offering a one or a two number ones, I'm not taking any phone calls for Aaron Rodgers. Let him finish his career and legacy here in Green Bay so I can at least 10, 20 years from now say, Aaron Rodgers, who played his whole career with the Green Bay Packers, and we have these legacy things we can talk about. With Aaron Rodgers, I know what I'm going to get for the most part. That's good and bad. With Jordan Love, has he shown me some things? Sure. And the kid's got some skills. He wouldn't be in that quarterback room without it. But I don't know. And here's another big thing that I'm saying to my fan base, which, again, smallest franchise in all of sports. I need every butt in that seat. Sorry, guys. We're rebuilding. It's going to be a couple years before we're relevant again. But we got this great kid, Jordan Love. We still got Aaron Jones. We still got, where are you going? Where are you going? Green Bay fans, whether you like it or not, whether you'll admit it or not, you've been spoiled. You have been spoiled for two decades in playoff football. And every time the preseason starts, every season, well, we got a chance. Oh, we got a chance. We got number four. We got a chance. We got number 12. We got a chance. I don't know if the next number is going to be that guy or not, but I know right now you still have that, because I know next year, no matter what happens this offseason, if Aaron Rodgers is still with the Green Bay Packers, next year they're going to be talked about as a Super Bowl contender. I guarantee it. I don't care what they do this. If they do nothing this offseason, they will still go into next year with the three-time MVP and Aaron Rodgers being a possible Super Bowl contender. I'm not saying that Vegas is going to have them as the odds-on favorite or anything like that. But we all know how this works. Offseason goes, we forget a little bit about last year, and it's all about, well, they got this new piece, and they got that new piece, and, well, they still got Aaron Rodgers, and know he's going into maybe his last year, and this could be it for him, and he's going to go in, and he wants that second title. You know the conversations. You have that. If you have Jordan Love, I don't know if you have that. I don't know how many people are considering them a contender or not or anything, and that matters when you're trying to fill fan base. I know that if I'm a Green Bay fan, all that matters to me is Super Bowls, and I don't want that. But I don't take lightly the last couple of years where I had those playoff games at Green Bay and I had that income and those businesses surrounding the Lambeau Field had people there and stuff. They're missing that right now. That matters in this state more than any other, you can make the argument. So Aaron Rodgers means a lot more than just winning Super Bowl game, you know, Super Bowls. I bring him in, I bring him back. Okay, well, you know, some people are going to not like this or anything, but everybody's going to be paying attention. The haters, the people that are fans, everybody will. Jordan Love comes in, and I got an off-season of Jordan Love. I got a first month of Jordan Love. Those attendance numbers are probably not going to be the same. That matters. And I don't know how much that plays into this decision-making for them or not, but it would be weighing on my head if I was Gutenkotz, certainly.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we've been spoiled since, like, 1992 when we got Brett Favre, so basically 30 years now. Isn't that incredible to think?
Really is.
A 30-year run.
You can even go a little farther, I think.
Mikowski back in 89.
I was just going to say, because to me, I thought Mikowski was going to be next great guy.
And that's where it kind of all started, right, when they got us back to the playoffs.
I just thought of the over the line. I just thought of the foot over the line. That's never going to leave our fan base. No. Us Midwesterners, especially Bear Packer fans, all of us, that'll never, like, I haven't thought of that in probably 20 years, but it just popped in my head as soon as we said it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. You know, we were living in Arizona at the time, and you only got like a football game a week, and we happened to see that one. So that one lives in our memories forever as well. But, you know, it is interesting because you're right. We have Aaron Rodgers, and that does give us an opportunity. As you look at the rest of the roster, you said you trade Russell Wilson. You think that's going to make Denver a contender. You know, you look at Devontae Adams. That's going to make, you know, the Raiders a contender. And I think we said it right at the point when that happened. I think on this show we made the comment that I said, I heard this. The Raiders just went from finishing fourth in the AFC West to fourth in the AFC West.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
You know, it didn't make a difference, did it?
No.
But it cost them $30 million. And so, you know, you can look like the wisest decision, but until it rolls around to this time of the year, your team's got to be healthier. You're playing your third-string quarterback. Some third-string quarterbacks can do it for you. Mm-hmm. Others, the teams just fold. And, you know, this weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend. What a perfect name for it. You know, get rid of the San Francisco-Seattle game was good for a half. After that, it just, you know, got out of hand. But after that, every other game, oh my goodness. You thought, you know, Buffalo's up 17-0. Well, that one's going to turn out to be a blowout. Well, you know, Jacksonville, four picks. Who comes back from four picks?
Right.
Who comes back from four picks? The guy that throws four touchdowns, that's who comes back from four picks, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that must be like in San Diego? Of course, it's California, but if they really do have an intensive fan base there, they must be not very happy right now.
Well, I kind of wanted to wrap up on the coaching carousel, and that leads us right perfectly into that, because I keep refreshing my screen expecting him to be fired. I don't know how he has kept that job coming into this season, let alone after some of the decisions he has made, and then to play his starters the last week. And he just feels like one of these coaches that can't get out of his own way. You know, you got all this talent on that team. I understand that it's not as simple as I'm simplifying it, but, I mean, get out of your own way.
Well, you got Herbert and Eckler, and Eckler only rushed for like 30 some yards. That was it. It's just like, man, it just didn't seem like they utilized him enough.
Just felt it felt like yeah. a, like some of these coaches really can't get out of their own way, and he seems like one of the best at it. It just make hey, my team has a there my odds of winning just rose. How can I bring that down? It seems like he fights himself in this stuff or whatever. I don't know. I do think, too, it's going to be interesting to hear they talk about Justin Herbert mm-hmm. going forward. Mm-hmm. Because not that that game was on him necessarily, but we you know what we do to these quarterbacks, right. especially these young quarterbacks. Hey, what have you won? What have you done for me lately? I'd give anything to have a kid like that, but the fan base, you wonder.
Wasn't this a stat, too, this weekend? I think I heard, excluding tonight's game, that I think the youngest quarterback or the oldest quarterback playing in the playoffs is
Tom Brady, but
yeah, but excluding yeah, him and Dax. I think it's
all these guys are under 26. Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is like the oldest at 26.
All these young quarterbacks that did under 25. That again, that tells you it's a young man's game, and I don't know. If we're ever going to see, we're obviously never going to see another Tom Brady, but even like somebody like Aaron Rodgers that can be productive in his mid 30s and going forward.
MVP at 38.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to see that because I don't know if these guys will get that chance.
Yeah.
Aaron had some down years. Yeah. Tom Brady had some down years. They were able to stride through them. I don't know if guys will get those chances anymore. It's going to be really interesting to see. The coaching carousel is going to be fascinating, too. We'll get a little bit more into that as we go forward. I just want to get this out of the way. Jim Harbaugh's not going anywhere.
No.
Like, can we stop talking about Jim Harbaugh taking one of these jobs? For the love of God, he's never going to. And if he does, we'll find out then, okay? But until then, let's just quit, you know, him being such a low-hanging fruit, the easy one to mention and stuff. I'm more curious to see if some of these great offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, that seeing them get some opportunities. I'd like to see some new names.
Be interesting, too, with the Vikings. That's all I saw on social media yesterday was just, you know, Ed Donatell, former Packer defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Boy, the Viking fans, just even during the game, they were just ripping him because their defense was so porous all year, basically. They were just fortunate to win those close games.
Yeah, I worry, like, I never like the question, and PTI does this all the time. Did they win or lose the game? You know, did this team win the game or did this team lose the game? Did the Giants win the game or did Minnesota lose it? That kind of discussion. Because I don't like taking away things from the Giants. This is a playoff football. I mean, it matters. And the Giants played a hell of a game. I thought they earned that game. They won that game. But, yeah, if I'm a Minnesota fan, I am just sick.
If you're a Giants fan, we won the game. If you're a Vikings fan, we lost. Isn't that usually how it is?
Yeah.
Like if you're a Packer fan even, you know, well, we won that game. But if we lose, well, we lost that. We should have, you know, right?
Yep.
I think that's just the mindset of the fan base, isn't it?
Again, you know, you talk about all that talent on that Minnesota team and to not be, and all the money they put in free agency on that defense and stuff, and they just never really put it together. Nobody really believed them this year. Not even their fan base. I've got a lot of Minnesota fans, friends that are fans.
Sure.
And not one of them, you know, had any. Look, if I'm wrong, you go ahead and replay this for me. I never believed that Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl quarterback. I've never seen him as that guy that could win me a Super Bowl.
And I think, you know, they won that 11-0 in those one-score games. But when they got blown out by Dallas and blown out by the Packers, you got to be going, you know what? When we get against this really strong competition game after game in the playoffs, yeah, it's going to be tough. And it happened in just one.
Take a quick look at our sports schedule. A little bit later tonight on this here radio station at 6:05, got the Greg Gard Show. On WIRI, as Randy told you a little bit earlier, 6:55, our pregame kicks off for Nakusa taking on Athens. Randy, have a great time with the game tonight.
It'll be a good time, you bet.
Don, you have fun, too. Big shout-out to our callers today. Thank you so much for calling and joining us. Get ready to call back next Monday when we have more playmakers. Looking forward to it. Got another playoff weekend we'll be coming from and everything. Going to have a lot of fun. We'll tell you the rest of our sports schedule throughout the week on the morning show because we're going to be having a lot of sports this week. It's a lot of fun. Good things coming up. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Buy local, support local. Go to Quality Plus for all your printing needs. You guys have yourselves a great day. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.